Welcome, everyone. We are now about to begin Bez Hashem, Shalom Bayis Shir number 472. And we were discussing about the proper Torah Hashkafa pertaining to Mitzvahs Ayna, that there are, Baruch Hashem, many, many good sources out there for it. And we're going to now quote a letter from someone, Rabbi Alter Halpern, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He wrote this to Chassan, but it applies to women equally. The Rav Aaron Cohen in his book, Matoy Voyalecha, brings down. I may paraphrase what he wrote a little bit. And here's what he says. He writes, hence you, the Chassan, applies to Kalas too, must know that as you prepare for your big wedding day, after you've kept yourself as pure as possible while you were a bachur, and did not engage with women since you were a young child. So even if today you do understand that this will change, there's still a part of in your heart that bothers you because you did not understand it correctly up until now. Your parents educated you well with good intentions that to the degree that is within their powers, you should not act friendly with girls. You obeyed and refrained from any sort of close contact, either gazing at or thinking about them. But as a child, you accepted this at face value, without any conditions and interpretations, because a child's heart is not mature enough to understand deeper meanings, and therefore it is difficult for you to hear the message that it is temporarily forbidden, or that outside of marriage it is forbidden. All you heard was that it was forbidden, period. I'll stop here for a second and just say this is the controversy question of when a boy and girl hits the age of 14, 15, when puberty clearly kicked in, whether you should continue to tell them these type of things, that it's forbidden, period, or at that point in time, even then, it's beneficial to explain to them that it's not forbidden, period, but it has to be channeled, because it will be used ultimately for good purpose, but you have to black it out now? Or is it better to just tell them it's forbidden, period? That's a controversial subject, which we're not getting into it now, but I just want to put it out there that that is indeed a question. And most likely, it really depends on the person's personality. Some people, if they're told it is forbidden, period, it'll have a tremendously negative effect, because they'll have these feelings and they'll think very badly about themselves when they come up, or that they have a pull towards these things, and it could really ruin them that way. On the other hand, in some cases, if you tell them more, that could be channeled and it's really good at the end, they may weaken in their resolve. So it is somewhat complex, but I'm going to continue. Said basically that they were told it was forbidden, period. Now, it is possible that it was already difficult for you back then. If it is forbidden, then why is it allowed for other people after marriage? At that time, your mind did not yet have the strength to answer the question, but you followed your parents' guidance nevertheless. And here again, I will add that for many 14, 13, 15 years old boys and girls, their mind does have the strength to deal with this. And it is better to tell them, in my humble opinion. You have to gauge, but in many cases, it is better to tell them. They'll be feel much more like a load is off their head when they recognize what it is, and they'll be able to deal with it better if they are told, because they feel it anyway. Now he continues, today you probably know that the correct interpretation, but still former habits dominate you, and it is not easy to remove those earlier thoughts from your head. Therefore, in order for you to fulfill the mitzvah properly, you need an interesting musar shmuz, which may appear in your eyes as the opposite of musar. And although it is simple, I write it briefly. Take the example of eating meat. There are many types of meat that the Torah forbade, but the Torah did not forbid eating meat itself. Many animals are also forbidden. The kosher ones must undergo a proper shechita, and nicker. Nicker means you take out the fats of an animal that are not kosher, or the gid hanasha, and then check it to ensure they're kashrus, and they must be salted to remove the blood. And then there are certain times when eating is prohibited, such as on a fast day. Additionally, as we know, we also make a bracha before we eat. But these are all restrictions on how we eat the meat. There is no prohibition on eating meat itself. So imagine if a child grows up in a place where there is no kosher shechita, and he sees that no one is eating meat. He may have been taught that meat itself is not forbidden. He may very well struggle to comprehend that something he has always believed to be forbidden is actually not the case at all. So in this case of a child that grew up in these places where their meat was not kosher, they had no shechita, so he never ate meat. All of a sudden they go to a kosher-friendly neighborhood where there is hashgacha and everything's fine, and all of a sudden people are eating meat, he'll get thrown in a loop like, what do you mean, meat was usser? In the meantime, he has to register that, no, meat was not usser. Just in the place where he was, did not have a healthy kosher shechita yet, but for those places that do, it's not a problem. So the same applies to our subject. The Torah did not forbid marital relations, but limited it. Basically limited it to marriage. And indeed, there are criteria outlining when it is forbidden, such as with certain relatives or with a person already married. And even within a marriage, there are times where it's not permitted, such as Yom Kippur, on a Dereisa level, on a Derabana level, Tisha B'Av as well. And during a woman's Nida period, and also not only allowed, and it is also only allowed after Kedushin, and after immersing in a mikveh, but after meeting all those conditions, almost always, the wife is totally permitted to her husband, not only totally permitted, it becomes mamash a mitzvah, meaning that she's absolutely permitted, and here is an interesting pasuk in Tehillim, actually. Let the humble eat and be satisfied. Yoichlu anovim v'yisbohu. In other words, let the anavim, let the humble people, eat and be satisfied. He's making a reference to this to mitzvah's ayna. Anavim means you have to be humble. That's the concept. True, healthy, physical intimacy. There needs to be a whole humbleness and a vulnerability to it. But eat, Hashem is saying, v'yizbo, and you'll be satisfied. And without the slightest thought that it's problematic. I'm going to repeat that another time. Two times, that you know once the wife goes to mikveh, it is permitted and even a mitzvah, and engage in it, that the humble eat and be satisfied, without the slightest thought that it's problematic. Without the slightest thought that it's problematic, say it a third time again, which is a fourth time, without the slightest thought that it's problematic. That is the key. Because very often, it lingers in the brains of boys and girls, and then a year into marriage, even 10 years after marriage, that they're still niggling in the back of their brain. Even though they have children, okay, pruvu. Even though the wife goes to the mikveh leil tefillah and they are engaged in physical intimacy. I'm not talking about people that have mamish, that they're like living like roommates. Nevertheless, even if the intimacy is sort of consistent, there's a niggling feeling in the back of the brain. This is all a bidi eved. There is a slight thought that is problematic. This is not really the most kosher thing to do. And between a husband and wife, that has to be wiped out of the brain completely. It is the right thing. It is the good thing. It is a mitzvah. Balance? Yeah, balance. Another thing one needs to recognize, therefore, that this mitzvah of ayna is not forbidden ever, except under certain conditions, obviously, halachically. It's not a problematic act. It's absolutely permissible and very much encouraged in the Torah. It's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah pruvu to have children. And this is part of a mitzvah the man has in order to bring children into the world. That's one mitzvah. We're going to talk about Peruvu in a minute. Then we'll talk about Oynes separately. It says, when you bring new generations into the world, we become partners with Hashem. Gemara Kedushin Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Shloisha Shutfim Ba'adam. There are three Shutfim, three partners in a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God. Aviv, Father. Imai, Mother. So you see right away what an important mitzvah it is. However, it's important to clarify that people make this mistake in thinking that the only reason to engage in intimate relations is for the purpose of having children. And many, many people are still under this misguided belief. They believe that intimate relations other than to have children is a b'dieved, meaning that it's problematic in essence, and it has to be performed after marriage because there's no other choice, because then the man will stray and the wife will feel lonely. But, and also because you have no choice, it's the only way to have kids. What are you going to do? So it's all, if it's not done in the context of having children, people view it as negative, and that causes tremendous damage in marriages. Tremendous damages in marriages. Because mitzvah oina applies even at times when it's impossible to conceive, whether it's unlikely to conceive, she's already pregnant, nursing an infant, on birth control, during menopause, after menopause. Mitzvah oina applies by all of it. We're going to do research and do separate shiurim on people that are experiencing the during and after menopause state, that they can enjoy that physical aspect tremendously, even beyond menopause, even in their 60s, 70s, even 80s. They could have special pleasure from this experience, despite the fact that obviously physically the body weakened in this area. It makes no difference. But you see here clearly that mitzvah oina is not solely for having children. There's two parts of this mitzvah. One is to have children. Two, mitzvah oina for its own sake. It's not connected to each other. There's no connection. You can look in Bir Halacha, Reish Simen, Reish Mem, Mishnah Brura, which comes from the Magen Avraham over there. It brings down also Sefer Yad Aharon. That says that the Oina that says in the Torah, La Mishum Periyah V'Rivyahu, right? Because otherwise, when she's already pregnant, or she's nursing, and usually nursing is a preventative, so what's the big deal? Or if she's older, she can't have children anymore. Nevertheless, Mekol Mokim Shayach Mitzvah Oina. It's an open Gemara in Pesach and Dafayim Beis. He brings down, Rabbi Yochanan says, by a wife also you're doing a mitzvah. And it's talking about Ishtay Muberes, the wife is pregnant, for Ikka Mitzvah Aina, Shaloi B'Shasei Nasa. Shaloi B'Shasei Nasa is a teres, Ela Ikka Mitzvah Aina. So you see there's a Mitzvah Aina. The Magid Mishnah, the Magid, brings down, the Rambam, Perek Tesvav of Hilchas Ishus, he brings down that Mitzvah Periyah V'Rivyah or Mitzvah Oina Heim Beis Devarim, the two separate factors. The Ein Zeh Toli B'Zeh. They're not connected with one another whatsoever. There's a kuntris called Ali with the Hilchas that brings down Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He says, HaMatara Hi, the goal of a physical union between husband and wife, number one, could they live Reis V'Lervais, to have children, the Yesh Gam Mitzvah Shal Oina. And it's brought down there that the tachlis is lefreis v'levreis. Or the tzerach zeh hit bi Hakadosh Baruch Hu tayvelin in zeh. Or the acha shehut v'tevezu nolda mizeh mitzvah oina. He says something a little different. He says that it was the purpose is to have children, and once this tayv is there, the mitzvah oina sprung out from it. This you could say one way or the other. It's not necessarily the case. So to review these main points we discussed up to now. Number one. Marital relations is absolutely permissible. Unlike what we may have been taught when we were younger, Being intimate with one's spouse and displays of affection in the bedroom are not only not problematic, they're very encouraged. Number two, relations, physical relations, is actually a mitzvah in the Torah so that we can have children. And number three is the mitzvah is there even when one, it's not for the purpose of recreation. Mitzvah's oina. We will discuss more Be'ezus Hashem regarding this in upcoming Shiurim Be'ezus Hashem. Bracha and Hatzlacha.